We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Sage Rosenfels.
When you throw the ball 43 times a game and you only score 7 points and the passing game is 32nd in the league, the blame has to go somewhere. And the head coach is, to me, putting most of that blame on the quarterback. And if you want to go with Mitch was injured on that play or whatever, that's fine. You did leave him in for, you know, basically an entire half after that injury. I see an offense that, you know, I wasn't a great quarterback, but I know that my quarterback rating would be much lower in this offense because it's hard to have success when you're constantly in shotgun and constantly having to be sort of the all distributor of the football, and so much of the offense is put on the quarterback to make correct decision, correct throw, perfect throw with a leaky offensive line time and time again.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. We're going to talk to Mike Florio at 10 o'clock. Boy, anything going on in the NFL?
Just a couple of things.
Yeah, 10:40 for the midday midway and Hub Arkish at 11. He of the WSCR Ameristar pregame show and postgame. Also, he's there kind of all day. He's just sort of your football uncle who is there.
It's in your hearts.
Yes.
Like timeout, Jim Boyd. In your heart. Sorry, on your heart.
You have to have that
located
removed.
On. In would be very dangerous.
Yes, it's really not good. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sex? Text me, right, to 67011. Please do. We'll reply, and message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app. Oh. There's been so many breakdowns of that.
Yeah.
There's so much police.
You know what?
Work
again, out. again. Thank you so much. So much to the Fart Police deputies.
Good looking out. Yep.
By the Bernstein and McKnight Show here. You guys, just the best, and we really appreciate
it.
Yesterday was a lot of fun.
You're great Americans.
Really are. Great Americans all. Oh, speaking of, one more thing to add to the rundown. Matt Nagy is scheduled to take the microphone at 11:45. We will bring you his comments about whatever is going on with that whole thing. That's 11:45.
When you download the radio.com app, new and improved with rewind and DVR-like controls, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And, you know, I'm not on Facebook, but apparently Facebook Facebook is like the last refuge of
the
worst trolls. My son's hockey coach came up to me and he goes like, man, when you guys, your Facebook page, every time like you say anything or write something, people are just insane.
Yeah.
He goes, are these people all insane? And I said, yes, most of them are. That's where they're still able to congregate without being filtered out or blocked. That's all the people who've been blocked and muted in other forums or kicked off of other forums are still there, I guess.
Everything's free there. It's a wild, wild west. And if you've come to love and hate Dan at the same time, this is your place.
Enjoy. Be there. Our producers today, got to make sure I get this right, because we've had a spinning wheel. What goes up must come down. It is Christopher Dickens. That I know.
You got that one. Yeah, you hit that.
We're going to see if his buddy is back in his familiar position at the hearings.
He's a P1 of the podcast.
Oh, has to be, right? Rick Camp is on the board and in the back doing what he does, but he's not there. Is he here?
Is he doing what he does?
He's doing something.
It's just the things he does take him away from his duties now.
The executioner, Ray Diaz. You mentioned Nagy's coming up today. So
yeah.
Today's the start of Act 3. Right?
Absolutely.
Is it a scene one, act three,
mm-hmm.
when he stands there and basically says, this is kind of what we're doing now.
Yes.
This is where we are. This is what we're about. This is who the quarterback is. This is the beginning of act three.
Because regardless of whether or not he comes out there and says, Mitch will practice in full, Mitch will not practice, or we're going to have to take it one day at a time with Mitch and see how the hip responds and do that whole thing, which is kind of the one I expect, kind of the middle road and staying right on that fence and waffling as much as you can. can, because that's what the offense has done all season long. That sets the tone for exactly how the Bears can, not will, but can shape the rest of the season. Make no mistake, there are still opportunities for them to correct mistakes. There are still options for them. None of them are fun. None of them are all that easy to do if you've garnered some ego, if you've got yourself some sort of investment in the decisions that you've made in the years leading up to this season, which I'd imagine any general manager or coach would. None of them are easy to do, but you have an opportunity here, a handful of them. You got every single game to make small adjustments and changes and prove to, whether it's the rest of the league, the players that you've got to convince to play for you, that you can adapt from where you've been. And I listen, here's the other part of this, and we talked about this some with Mullion Haugh, and David pointed it out. When you talk about the expectation for quarterback competition coming into next season, you are then talking about the general manager and the head coach being set at odds. The potential of that happening leads to massive fractures throughout the organization, leads to potential massive fractures there.
They always talk about the collaborative atmosphere there, that they always work together. And then it takes a little bit of time. And
like when he said that John Fox and he were in lockstep about picking Mitch in the first place.
How about the fact
lockstep?
Let's go back further. How about the fact that shortly after taking the job, Ryan Pace ended up, it just so happened that he saw the handwriting on the wall about John Fox, and instead of hiring somebody else, he was able to come around to deciding that he, yes, indeed wanted to hire John Fox.
Oh, how about that?
That's how that happened. He technically, yes, he did hire him. It was his call. He could have expended early capital upon taking the job and said, no, I'm not doing this, but probably in an effort to keep things simple, he kind of went with the program there.
Sure.
So that was early on in this collaboration. And you're absolutely right what you're saying about how it worked, keeping Fox out of the loop completely when you signed Mike Glennon, and then, oh, I'm going to trade up for Mitchell Trubisky. The hiring of Matt Nagy. This would be the first time we would have a fork in the road that could potentially separate Nagy and Pace, unless there was true discussion and collaboration on the decision for who that quarterback, quote-unquote, competition is going to be.
And I suppose that would have to go hand-in-hand with collaboration and understanding that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy both think the same thing about Mitch. If that happens, then they're able to make that decision together. If Matt Nagy has looked at Mitchell Trubisky and his abilities at quarterback and the ability to run that offense, and has either convinced or Ryan Pace has arrived at that same decision about Mitch concurrently through the last, you know, his last 30-something starts.
I think Nagy knows he sucks, and I think that Pace might in his heart of hearts know it, but isn't ready to admit it to himself yet. That's just my guesswork from outside, the way it feels to me. I'm not basing this on any inside information. I know that Matt Nagy has seen enough football and he's played the position at a high enough level. He knows he sucks.
He's calling the game like he knows he sucks. It's in the evidence. Yeah. It is entered into the game film. The All-22 has play after play after play. Not all of them great plays by Matt Nagy, mind you, but play after play that man has called. All of them would tell you, or at least the bulk of them would tell you, that the head coach doesn't like the quarterback. Just look at the sideline tape each and every week. I would love, maybe we got to get Ramblin' Grimace on this. Just go through the...
Well, now it's important.
The sideline, right? Just go through the sideline shots of the Denny's menu, the BU play card, week to week to week to week. Watch for the changes. Try and keep up. Watch all those plays come off. Watch all the blank space get added onto the play card. What do you think that means? What has that proven to you about how Matt Nagy feels about the offense helmed by that quarterback?
Yeah, that Pace's guy can't do what I want him to do still.
Scoreboard Update.
And from the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zekak.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
Sorry. Excuse me. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Stop scooting that coffee cup made across the desk. It's not what you're supposed to do when you've got an open microphone.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Just put it aside for a moment.
Okay, I guess.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, how do you think Trubisky did?
Bad, but that's fine. There's just no real good answers for a Bears team that is looking at potentially turning to Chase Daniel, who's just a nice man and just a complete cipher, just a total pile of meh.
Yeah, there's an idea out there that putting Chase in would... I don't know. Putting Chase Daniel in would let you know just how much of Matt Nagy's offense works and doesn't work. Exactly how capable Matt Nagy is as an offensive game planner and game caller. And while I respect where that's coming from and the idea of it, I just don't know that that's... I don't know that I've seen the evidence for that to be true. I don't think Chase Daniel is your, you know, like we've talked about him a lot, your wins above replacement quarterback, your VORP guy. You know, I don't think he's representative of that. I don't right. think they have a good enough quarterback on that roster to check the math on Matt Nagy's offense and let you know that this coach works. That's why I think that establishing the value of the head coach right now, going through all the struggles that that offense has, is for him to show you he can adapt one way or another. Whether that's changing the scheme or admitting that, yeah, I can run some I formation here. Maybe they did bring me to run some of the I formation. Or giving play calling duties to someone else. Using someone else to help call plays.
Andy Reid did stuff like that. Even in good seasons, he let Matt Nagy call plays for him. But Andy Reid was in a position to be secure enough in his position to do that. No one was going to question his authority at all. And I wonder if it would behoove Nagy to have his plays, run his practices, and then watch a different application of those plays. And just for the hell of it, get outside his own head a little bit. Not that he would be permanently banned from calling plays, but just maybe just watch someone else do it to get a different perspective.
Do you want
just like he told Mitchell Trubisky to watch his body language, to watch the television broadcast, to see that maybe you need to see it objectively a little bit.
See how somebody else sees it?
Yeah. It can't hurt.
Yeah, it can't. I just wonder, would you prefer him to do that with a... Well, I suppose it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is at this point because the limitations are pretty clear for both.
And the question is, if what we played coming out with Sage Rosenfeld said yesterday, is it the offense? So at some point we have to decide the difference between play sequencing and the actual plays that they have.
Yeah.
And it's possible that their menu of plays is affected by not having a tight end or not having blocking on the edges, or, you know, not being able to establish a line of scrimmage in the run game. And we don't know if it's chicken or the egg there. What starts what?
But that's true.
There's a difference between the sequencing of plays and the decision of what to run and when with the offense itself, with what those plays are. The play design and play sequencing are different things because we use a term like the offense. But you have to actually figure out what you're saying when you say the offense.
The offense is the thing that has gotten Taylor Gabriel on a linebacker every now and again, but has also called an option play to the short side with an injured quarterback on third and one. That has to be resolved. You have to iron out those wrinkles. I totally agree with you there. And it's where I come to, you know, you are now in evaluation mode. Yet again, you are in evaluation mode. Why not? You got Brad Biggs of the Tribune out there saying it's time to bring up Jesper Horsted.
Yeah.
Ken Mastrolli Award winner Jesper Horsted. Did Biggs properly attribute that to Horsted?
No, he didn't mention him as a Ken Mastrolli Award winner.
Maybe that's in the notes. We can get a Trib correction, maybe something.
It's bad PR on our part. We have to do a better job of publicizing the significance.
If Jay weren't on vacation, we'd have had this done.
We Maybe should have like a Mastrolli Award Twitter handle or something.
We We could invest in an actual award. We like buy the trophy and mail it to the guy's house or
keep
something.
Inscribing names on it.
I like it. I like the idea.
Like the Open Championship or the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Who's got no bowling trophy they want to get rid of?
I would go into my son's room and on his dresser, he can't put anything on the top of his dresser.
Does your kid have a lot of trophies?
But they all do. I mean, but it's all he only keeps the ones that meant something.
Kevin said he has a couple participation trophies he could donate.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
I've got some old somewhere in my parents' crawl space. I've got old humorous interpretation championship medals and trophies.
I kept one. I
That's definitely... the most on brand thing you have ever said.
Well, I kept them.
That's the one we should use for the Ken Mastrolli Award.
Well, and instead of sending them the award, you send them a certificate that's already framed.
Yeah, we keep the award here in the studio.
You keep the award and you send them a certificate.
Yeah, that's the right idea.
Yeah, but here's what I wonder. When Biggs writes something about that, when somebody as plugged in as Biggs writes that.
I always think this.
It's because he probably heard something.
I always think
right?
that.
If you have relationships with teams that you cover, you get the guy who says, hey.
Slash and are good at your job.
Yeah.
Biggs is.
Right. And be really good at your job and thorough. I mean, look, I remember when I was like, I used to call Tim Floyd in his office when I covered the Bulls. And he would just pick
you
up.
You would call Tim Floyd into his own office?
No, I would call him and he'd pick up the phone. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? What's up? What do I need to know? Well, hey, I'll tell you, you want to sound smart? Like, I always want to sound smart. He goes, all right.
It's literally what I get out of bed in the morning for.
He used to call me Shell Answer Man. He's like, all right, you got all the answers. You're Shell Answer Man. You all sound smart. Why don't you speculate we're going to trade one of our major stars?
I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Yes, right.
That's a lot. Right. I was thinking like, well, I don't know, maybe we'd plan on blitzing the pick and roll a little bit more tonight.
Why don't you get out there and speculate where we'll make a trade? Sure. I'm happy to do that. They get to test the waters a little bit too. You mm-hmm. know, sort of like with the, remember they floated the Scottie Pippen trade years ago?
That's right.
When Pitino had the two first round picks in Boston and that whole deal. And how about that whole deal?
How about?
Right. And when Biggs writes that, maybe somebody said, hey, Biggs, what do you think of Jesper Horsted? You might want to just...
maybe we'd play him. I don't know.
He's looked
Giants
great.
Matchup
looked
pretty
great
good.
Out there. Looking really good out there. He's really starting to understand that U tight end position, right?
It's complicated. It's taken him a long time, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's figured it out.
So Colin Kaepernick had the independent workout over the weekend. Some teams attended. By all accounts, he looked really, really good. And apparently there are a couple teams interested. His attorney discussed that, and we have that audio so we can speculate as to who those teams may be. You're going to hear that next, so don't go anywhere. You got Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here.
That was Colin Kaepernick. Everybody got to see him run around and look like an NFL quarterback. Amazing.
That an NFL quarterback looked a little bit like an NFL quarterback?
Yes, incredible.
It's like taking a professional basketball player toward the top of the draft when you're looking for professional basketball players.
Your guy the other day with 40 points and a triple-double?
Man.
It doesn't happen a lot.
I put it on the DVR. I didn't watch it. I was going to save it for when I got home today. I mean,
I
knew he had 40.
I was wrong on him.
What's that?
Very happy I was wrong on him. I was just worried about the lack of athleticism.
Oh, and he does. Luka Doncic does have a slight lack of athleticism when it comes to other guys playing
so
that spot.
So does Nikola Jokic.
He's like a smoke and a pancake while he's giving assists across
he's
the lane.
An Italian BMT going down the court.
No, that was what was the one that David Roth so retweeted.
It was a sweet onion chicken teriyaki that Jokic was crushing.
There's two in one hand. You know, there's one in either hand, and he's getting shredded lettuce everywhere as he's playing. And then he says that he's
dribbling down the court.
Right, and then he said he casually makes a pass between the legs of the NBA's most improved player, right? I love stuff like that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love when bad athletes are great at sports.
You know what really got me into that? And we'll get to the Colin Kaepernick stuff in a second. When as Paul Pierce's career turned less athletic and he turned into the guy who would he'd find the elbow, you know, get the free throw line extended and just turn around and start playing ass ball and just do that, like YMCA stuff. That, like,
the Mark McGuire.
Moment I started seeing that, I was like, oh my God, that is a just a wonderful way to play basketball.
All right, so Mark Garagos is the attorney for Colin Kaepernick through all of his trials and tribulations, and he was
Garagos has had some himself. He is an outspoken...
he could be a bit of a fabulist.
Brash, I think you could probably say. Grain of salt kind of guy.
But here's how he described the current, shall we say, market for his client, Colin Kaepernick, on the Adam Carolla podcast.
I think you're going to hear something within the next 10 days. That's my feeling. I know I've made that prediction before, but there are two teams that I think are in the hunt. One who is legitimately in need of a quarterback, that had a very poor showing on Sunday, and has got an owner that I don't think gives... And the other is an owner that maybe does give a, but they still want to win and they're in the hunt.
Now,
interesting.
They went on to speculate that the latter team that is mathematically in the hunt but may have an owner that could be standing in the way, on their show, they speculated the Bears. They went right to the Bears on that. The first one sounds to me like Carolina.
Same. I mean, they've got an ownership there that is pretty outspoken about.
They have Eric Reed.
This kind of stuff. They signed Eric Reed, and they have a quarterback who had a really bad day. Mm-hmm. Kyle Allen threw a whole bunch of interceptions again.
I got to get my Allen straight. Because I think I would like to propose this.
Which Allens do you need to straighten out?
I would like to merge Kyle Allen and Brandon Allen of the Broncos.
Yeah, but those are two remarkably... Okay, all right, same name.
There should not be two of them.
Okay, in my mind, they are very different people, but I can understand
it. Not in mine, because you hear one...
Kyle? Would he be Brian Allen?
Whatever he Brian Allen is fine. Because Josh Allen is better. Josh Allen is a little above that.
I think so. But no, he is. Yeah, he is.
Brandon and Kyle should be fused into a single cost-saving entity. This was my feeling at one point when there were two punters, Luis Aguiar and Leo Araguz. And I decided that we did a segment on it on a weekend show of athletes there shouldn't be two of. I said Pat Garrity and Matt Harpring. I also said that both of those guys could be merged.
Sorry, person.
And also all the TJs on the Pacers.
Every single one of them?
Yeah, that TJ just McConnell, TJ Warren.
All right.
And who was the other one?
TJ Leaf.
Yeah. Something has to be done there. A consolidation of Pacers TJs into one.
The brothers Teej.
Right. An easier entity for all of us involved.
All right. I'm into that.
Okay. So that's apropos of nothing.
It's for a later time.
I would love for there to be news regarding a team saying, you know what? Yes, and screw you, and screw you, and screw anybody who tweets about it. And if three people want to stand in front of our office and hold up misspelled protest signs and burn their stupid jerseys and light their asses on fire, we're fine with it. And we're going to get on with playing football.
It'll be more than three people, whichever team signs them. It'll be more than three people because there are a lot willing and just happy to go show their ass outside of a pro football facility, just thrilled to go do that with their day. And Garagos really, he understands it. I mean, in the podcast there, in the audio that we had for it, he understands they had to bleep his characterization of what an ownership would have to put up with and would have to, I don't know, endure or navigate, however you want to characterize it, should they sign Colin Kaepernick. I think you're right. I think the one team's probably the Panthers. They have an ownership there that signed Eric Reed. I was just reading through a 538 piece. The Bears their algorithms and whatnot give the Bears a 1 in 100 chance to make the playoffs. So technically speaking, they are still alive, and they definitely have quarterback issues. But if Garagos' timeline or anything else that he's saying is to be believed, that would not qualify the Bears because they've got the game here, then the quick turnaround to Thanksgiving, which means you would then be bringing in Kaepernick to miss those next two games.
Right.
No doubt about it.
The timing is impossible for the Bears.
All I'm saying there is you wouldn't bring him in to save your season, as Garagos mentioned. You would be bringing him in to see what he's got, if you can get him up to speed. And then theoretically, I would assume if you're the team that's bringing him in, you're signing him to the rest of this year with some sort of, I don't know, I know options aren't necessarily a thing in football, but some sort of option for a second.
Yeah.
I would guess. I would only guess at that.
I love longtime score listeners who have better memories than I do. This is a, how do you people remember these things? The 847 says, Bernstein, a long time ago, you wanted to merge Merrillville and Cherrillville. Yes, that's true. And the 219 remembers, as part of that, you said we don't need both Michael Ironside and Powers Booth.
Oh, that's nonsense. That's absolute. Well, sir, you have gone too far.
One of them's gone now.
Absolutely not.
Powers Booth is dead.
Of course he is. R.I.P. But absolutely not. Those two are very individual human beings, both strict disciplinarians of 1980s filmature. That is absolutely wrong.
Did I really say that? Did I say merge? I'm right about that, the Merrillville-Cherrillville thing. Absolutely. And this 219 proposes merge the Hunter-Renfros.
Oh, that's, yeah, I'm in for that.
Okay.
That's absolutely true. I would actually love another Neon Dion, but instead of actually being Deion Sanders playing football and baseball, mm-hmm. it's a hilariously over-athletic, small, balding white man playing both sports. That would be fantastic to me.
I like that. That would be your one combined, consolidated Hunter-Renfro.
I dig it.
Or you just go for all the white slot receivers. You go Hunter-Renfro.
Edelman.
Edelman.
Amendola.
Adam Humphries.
Who's the guy played for the Cowboys for a while and couldn't kept on getting hit in the noggin?
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley.
Daniel Braverman.
In.
You have to have actually played.
Anyone who went to a directional Michigan.
Who was the draft pick this year, the little Italian kid that everybody loved?
Fantus?
No, not Andy Fantus. He was drafted.
Yeah.
Andy Isabella.
That's right.
Second round pick.
Not yep. Dante Cooper DiVincenzo. Cup. He plays a different sport.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dante DiVincenzo is not, he doesn't play like a white guy.
Cooper Kupp can play too.
Dante out of this.
Yeah, no, Dante DiVincenzo.
No, I was just thinking of the Italian guy that got drafted this last year. That's what I was
thinking.
The Bucks cornered the market on whites that can jump. Him and Pat Connaughton.
Dude, yeah, that's true.
They can both get up.
Do we need both of them? I don't know. I think so.
They're too young to get merged.
For sake of us.
One of the Hunter Renfros is 40, and the other one plays for, I don't know who, Padres used to, but not anymore. Speculating, just to finish out the thought.
Yes.
Garagos speculating about the other team, saying there's one in the hunt that might be there. Steelers? Mason Rudolph got knocked over the head with a helmet. I'm sure he's fine. He's not very good. He's kind of a bag. It would be very interesting to see Mason Rudolph, who has put things on Twitter about the Kaepernick situation that do not like the Kaepernick situation, to have Kaepernick in the same room. That'd be fun. But I don't think the Steelers would do.
Yeah, but fun is fun.
Fun is winning.
And we've got Mike Florio coming up next with the latest from around the NFL. Keep it here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.